This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
Hi, I'm Prashant Nair, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. It's me, Mike Vardy. And if you are into email management, this conversation is for you. I am joined by Prashant Nair, who gets email. And I have looked at a lot of different ways to manage email over the years, and there's plenty of different options out there. I've taught about email management, but Prashant gets it. Like, Prashant just gets it like nobody else that I've come across. And he's a productivity and work-life balance expert who's helped tens of thousands of people worldwide through his email. And he also, it's not just email, meeting and time and task transformation trainings. Transformation's key. With this email management method we're going to talk about, the stack method, will transform how you handle email. You can get everything that you need about email management from this conversation. So pay attention, because if email is a pain point for you and there's a area of friction, we're about to fix that. Here's a productive conversation, my productive conversation, the productive conversation about email, of all things, with Prashant Nair. Prashant, thanks so much for taking the time to join me on the program today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the day before we recorded this, I sent you an email, and I did it for two reasons. Number one, to kind of really tell you how appreciative I am of the stack method, which is what we're going to get into today, and email management and your approach to it. I was like, this is pretty awesome. More people need to know about this. More, not just organizationally. But people who just are managing email and they don't have, I mean, anybody should use this. I literally wrote down in my notes, literally my new favorite email method. Now, I do have my own 3-mail method that I use, but it's integrated with time crafting. So for people who use time crafting and theme their days and stuff like that, that's fine. But actually, when you hear us talk about the stack method, you're like, oh, there's elements there's very similar elements. The second reason I emailed you is I'm like, I wonder what folder he's going to put me in. I wonder if this, like, I wonder how he's going to respond to that. So, all right, first off, I want to get into what was the pain point for you with email where you said, enough of this garbage, the way that, you know, you must have been dealing with email the way that most people dealt with it for a while. Like, I mean, because technology comes, we're like, here's Microsoft Outlook, here's Hotmail, here's how you should use it from the company that wants you to use it the way that they want you to use it. And you're like, okay, I guess this is how we use it. When was the tipping point for you to say, wait, hold on a second, this is not going to help me not only get through my email, but also with all the other things that I need to do throughout the day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that tipping point was right around 2005, 2006. I was a double Gemini at that point in its history was focused on project management. And so I was a project manager. I was managing larger and larger projects and programs. New York is just like any other big city, it's kind of a big, small place. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was had a knack for project management. I was managing larger and larger programs, multi-million dollar programs for some of these blue chip companies in the city. And instead of working on smaller projects at logistics firms, other places that I've been in, suddenly managing projects with 100 resources and I'm getting 300, 350 emails a day. And it just wasn't sustainable. There's no way to stay on top of the work that I need to do, the projects, and all of these communications. And so kind of hit the breaking point and decided that, you know, I needed a technique.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, again, working in project management, there are tried, tested, and true ways to work through projects, but there's more than one. That's the other thing too, right? Like email, it seems to me, as somebody who's spent time in this space like you, that there's never really, like, there's been thoughts about how to, oh, well, you know, and you talk about this in the video series, which, by the way, you're listening to this, hit the link in the podcast app of choice. If you're watching this or looking at this or listening to this on the website, the link is there to go to the video series, which is the most comprehensive email training that I've seen, paid or unpaid, out of the gate. Like, it's well done. So congratulations to you on that, because it was engaging. It was, I mean, I'm probably a bit of an edge case because I love productivity and this is what I do for a living. But for anyone who, like, my wife came into the room when I was looking at it and she's like, what's that? I'm like, well, this is email management. She goes, what? One thing she goes, well, why do we need email management training? I'm like, exactly. No, people don't think about this stuff. So when did you say, okay, this is how I'm going, the way we're working isn't working. I'm going to develop this method for myself. It's probably a lot like Ryder Carroll, right? Where he started bullet journaling for himself and someone said, hey, that's kind of cool. You should do that for more people. Is that kind of the way it worked for you too?
Yeah. I mean, so back in 2004, getting things done was pretty popular.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought, wow, maybe I'm going to try to apply this to my email. I found that it just didn't work.
There's too much sorting. Like, you have to move things. The folder method is so great. And getting things done, which, by the way, David's been on the show before. I know and love David's work. But there are, when it comes to email, it doesn't fit the same way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a mix between time-based and urgency-based prioritization. And, you know, unlike the stack method, for those of you that don't know or that are listening to this podcast, the kind of the key to the stack method is that we don't look at our inbox as a set of messages. We look at them as a set of actions. Mm-hmm. And so, so I'd say that, you know, I started working on it in about 2004. Friends started noticing how I was managing my inbox, colleagues started noticing, and they asked me to start teaching them. So I kind of did these, you know, back of the napkin things, you know, for a number of years. But I never really went after it formally until about 2012, which is when I really had this breakthrough that emails are actions.
Yeah.
You know, I tried a whole bunch of different, a mix of different techniques before that. But once I had that breakthrough, I kind of felt like I was onto something and that I really wanted to share it with other people. So I started putting together the class and taking it from there.
Can you tell me the moment, like, what, number one, when you made that? Because I've had those moments too, where you have that epiphany of like, wait, this is what this is. And it just flips the switch. Do you remember the exact moment when that happened? And I mean, and the feeling where it's like, this is it.
Yeah. So, sitting at my desk at the time in my office in New York City, which was on Lafayette, and I was staring at my inbox and I'm kind of felt hopeless. I was like, I've tried all these techniques. They're not sticking. You know, the key to any productivity technique is that it has to be complete. Mm-hmm. It's just like organizing your house. If you don't have a place to put everything, then those things are going to end up on your living room floor, right?
Right.
And, you know, but it goes beyond that. You have to basically deal with all the small little edge cases as well. So productivity system has to be complete. And I just was looking at my email. I'm like, this isn't complete. This isn't working. And I had familiarity because, you know, we at Double Gemini, we teach other productivity techniques around meeting management, task management, file management, so on. And so I was like, this isn't working. It's not complete. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just declare email bankruptcy and call it a day. And then I was looking at these messages and suddenly it hit me. I'm like, wow, you know what? That's not a message. That's a reminder. And wait, that's an action. That's something I've got to do. And wait, that's a meeting that I've got to schedule. That's something that I've got to delegate. And so as I was like starting to think through this, I was getting kind of more and more excited about it. And I was like, wait a minute. Okay, if I've got to organize these, I got to put them into folders. Okay, this isn't going to work. Okay, let me try it. And then I tried it. And it just like all these years of kind of trial and error kind of came together in about 15 minutes, and the stack method in its kind of current incarnation was born. It's pretty exciting.
You took the red pill. You took the red pill.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think the one thing I really loved about going through the stack method, which again, like I said, if you're not, there's lots. There's the only handle it once method. There's Yesterbox. Tony Hsieh had a method, the late Tony Hsieh had a message called Yesterbox. We're going to get to the Yester component of that soon because you get into that a little bit during the video series. But what I liked about the way you presented it was you said you pulled yourself back into beginner's mind with it. Like the way you present it, I could feel, number one, as even though I know a lot about this stuff, I try to put myself back in, like, what if I'm open to this and have never done it before? Like, how do you pull me in? And the way you did it was, number one, and I think this has a lot to do with the fact you work with organizations, is you understood the pain points of organizations very, very well. So you were able to not necessarily diffuse arguments, but you had compassion for the biases and arguments that would come up in people's brains, right? Like, so let's get into those. Number one, inbox zero. This has been a measuring stick for productivity ever since the term was corrupted by those who started to take, and you know what I'm talking about. Merlin Mann's idea of inbox zero is not what we are doing today when it comes to inbox zero. It's because inbox zero is actually in its rawest form, its purest form, it's a qualitative and quantitative element of productivity, right? Like it tells you, when you go into your inbox, you have no questions. It's not you have no email. It's that you nothing that isn't there already. You have a sense of what's there, right? So anything that comes new is like, oh, well, this is new to me. But everything that was waiting there for you, whether it's an inbox, where I'm putting in air quotes here because Lord knows the inbox is such an ambiguous term. You tackle that. So I want to know, for those that are like, but inbox zero, like, you know, especially once they go through the video series, they'll realize that, you know, there are, you take it and you don't destroy the notion of what inbox zero has, quote, become, which is get your emails to zero and that's it. You roll with it a bit. So can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So inbox zero, the concept in, if we're taking it in a literal sense, is very fleeting. The moment that, you know, in the stack method, the very first step is taking everything out of your inbox and putting into action folders and then working through those action folders in sequence. Inevitably, as you're working through those action folders, there's more emails that are coming back into your inbox, mm-hmm. right? So the key isn't inbox zero. It's almost like mind zero. So the key is closure.
Right.
And if you don't achieve closure on your email and basically have confidence that anything that's taken place in the past is accounted for, then those emails are going to basically weigh in on your consciousness and limit your cognitive ability. And so with the stack method, you empty it into action folders, then you methodically and patiently work through those action folders. And when you're done, let's say it was 9 a.m. and you were doing it at 9:45 or 10, even sooner, depending on your volume. As soon as you're done, you've got closure on all of your emails that had come in before 9 a.m. And that creates such a mental relief that people actually have even equated it to almost a spiritual experience, a release, because they never get that kind of closure. And without it, people are basically suffering almost from a low-grade fever, where there's this constant feeling that something's slipping through the cracks, I'm missing something, I didn't get to something. And all of that basically limits our mental bandwidth and our ability to focus on the task at hand, you know? So I think that's kind of the key. The key is inbox zero, figuratively, really should trigger into people's minds the concept of getting closure on their email. And that's really...
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits, but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today.
The key.
And I mean, the biggest thing you bring up there, which is, you know, Cal Newport talks about this in Deep Work, is this attention residue, right? Like and what I loved also about the folders, which we're going to get to right now, because I've long said, and you dive in way deeper, is the way that we fold our emails is completely wrong. I mean, you go to the GTD method, which you talk about, the getting things done methodology, and the reason I'll say the reason that that won't work, and you say it as well, is that you spend more time moving things from folder to folder than you actually would be, actually dealing with them. And the problem is again, there's that much more friction. And so it creates less flow. And the whole idea behind the stack method is flow. And when you, I wrote down literally mode-based emails, rewiring email habits, mode-based emails. Because that's what, when I looked at the five folders, which I'm going to get you to reveal here, I knew exactly what those folders meant. I didn't know what was in them, but I knew what they meant. And that was the trigger to keep flow going. So can you talk about number one, the folders, number two, the more fascinating thing to me, which I'm like, yes, of course, when you stop using those folders at a certain point of the day, because at some point in the day, you're like, yeah, folders, they're there, but I'm done with them. And thirdly, what if these folders don't work for everybody? Like, what if they don't? Okay.
All right.
So, by the way, those who aren't seeing this, I can see Rashawn's face going, oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. Like he's getting into it. So go ahead.
All right. So, okay. So the first concept to answer those three questions we talked about is that you have to stop, or my big revelation was that emails aren't messages, they're actions, right?
Yeah.
So there's five primary types of actions: reply, do, meet, review, remind. You know, those are the five primary actions, you know, if you will. Now, these actions are not a one size fits all. And that was one of the big lessons that I had in teaching the stack method. You know, I'd show people these folders and then I would watch how they were using it and something just wasn't quite clicking. And I realized that there's no silver bullet. What people needed to do is customize the folders to fit their particular workflow. If you're in the stock market, you might have a trade folder. If you're an accountant, you might have an invoice folder. You might have a scan folder. If you're an admin, you know, there's various different folders that you can put together. Mm-hmm. But the key is you want to have a succinct set of action folders to put your emails into based on the type of job that you're doing. So, and by the way, that's why if you go to stackmethod.com and watch the videos, it takes about an hour to get through the videos. When I was initially teaching it, I would show people the technique in about 15 minutes, but it wouldn't stick because right. They didn't understand how to customize the folders and the kind of the rules that went along with it.
Right,
so
right, right.
To address the mode-based folder thing. Now, what I found is that what the mode-based folders do, just like you were saying, is they prime you to take action on the emails inside. Every time you get a new email, you open it, you scan it, and then you have to decide what to do, and then you have to actually take the action. So you're going through these four steps. If you leave everything in your inbox, you're going through those four steps over and over and over again. And that's, by the way, about 3 seconds per email. And if you get 100 emails a day, that's a week's. It's 25,000 emails a year. It's weeks of your time, right?
Yeah.
So when you put them into these action folders, you're making the decision once. And so then when you're in the folder, you're primed to take action. And even if you decide that you're not going to take action that day, it's okay. You still don't have to go through those first three steps. Now, to address that second part of your question, when the process of the stack method is to start out your day or end your day, depending on when you want to do it. But let's say we're starting out our day. You empty your inbox into the action folders. You'd open your reply folder. You'd reply to those emails, archive and trash, move on to your do folder and straight down the list until you're done. Right? Okay. Now, from that point forward, if I was designing an email system, I would change the word inbox to active conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Inbox is a stupid term.
It's a dumb term at that point because you've gotten closure on everything in the past. Over the rest of the day, emails are going to come in, different people are going to reply, the various threads are going to happen. These are your active conversations. If you put them back in your folders, you're not going to have the same gains that you experienced of batch processing those emails. So it's best to treat them in this new, in a new way with this different context of active conversations. And, you know, if you do that, you end up being very efficient with respect to your emails.
And then to that end, when I was going through the video series, which, by the way, it takes a while, but number one, you can go, because they're Vimeo videos, you can go to 1.2. So if you speak slowly enough that you can actually get through them a little bit quicker if you want, if you have enough email management experience, like I was able to do. But secondly, the one thing that, again, you'll see those little highlights pop up, like the fact that you say, here's the workflow. You go through, you know, you go through your inbox, you move them to the folders. Then once you've dealt with the folders and you're in your inbox, like you said, the active conversations piece, that piece of friction is where I think a lot of people get caught up, is they think, oh, well, I have to constantly move things into folders. And that's a big no. And so by doing that, what I loved, Prashant, is that the hesitance or the bias to say, oh, I'm constantly moving things into folders then, which, by the way, people are doing when they use people and when they, because they're adding, you bring this up, infinite amount of folders. And by the way, this happens whether you use people's names or roles, because if you say, oh, well, it's the CEO or the sales department, now all of a sudden, but what if you have to talk to Bill in the sales department? Now you're putting subfolders in there. And you and I both know that if you're looking for emails and they're in those folders, all email apps are take longer to index when you have more folders. They just do. And so what you've got here, and I've talked about this before, this idea of the Goldilocks factor, the too hard, too soft, just right, your folders, and you bring this up with everything. The order that you're supposed to work through them, the amount of folders that you could have, all that. You need to find your just right. And the flexibility and sustainability of the stack method is what absolutely floored me. Now, the point I want to find out in terms of, because you have project management background and you have dealt with task management, is I am not a fan of using your email management program, your email app, as a task manager. That said, I do recognize that every message is an action, so there are tasks in it. What about people who, what do you do for people who are saying, these are great, I have all these actions. Some of them can be dealt with in email, but we have this task management system. We use ClickUp or Asana or Monday. How do you reconcile that yourself? Because when I went through the video series, I'm like, there's no way that you've got to be using some with the kind of stuff, you can't solely manage tasks inside of email. So I for those who go through the video and they come back here and go, oh, so he just uses emails to manage tasks, I want you to dispel that myth or double down on it, or double Gemini down on it now.
Yeah. So I do not recommend email to manage tasks. I do recommend email to manage one-off tasks that aren't related to projects or activities or operations or other systems within email itself. Somebody asked me for something specific. I don't need to put it into a task system. I can schedule time on my calendar from my email program and deal with that one-off task.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of times where I get tasks that come in and via email, and I realize it's part of a project, or it might even be just part of a sales conversation. And so I'll take those tasks and I'll move them into, you know, our task management system. We're using Smartsheet right now, mm-hmm. or I'll move them into Pipedrive, which is our CRM system, and I'll offload them there. So for example, a customer emails me, they want a proposal. I send them back the proposal. I archive that email and then I go into my CRM system and add the task for doing the follow-up. That's a much better use of managing these things. Now, if I want to follow up on the proposal, my CRM system will trigger that task. Then I'll go to the email, back to Gmail or Outlook or whatever system I'm using at the time, and find that email and then respond. So that way, none of my folders get cluttered and I'm able to basically efficiently work through this. So yeah, I think you need a much different approach.
Well, and conversely, it also helps you, because we use Front for email management here with my company. And what we do is, by having a really solid email management workflow, because that's really what we're talking about here, this method, is it allows you to trust that method. So that way, it you you because the worst thing that used to happen, we've seen this before, especially with getting things done, get it out of your inbox and into your trusted task management system. Oh, well, this is an email and it's got an action. Yeah, it's a 30-second action. Yeah, but I've got to get it, or it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So it's under the 2 minute rule or whatever you want to say. Oh, we got to get this into OmniFocus or into Asana. And all of a sudden you go to your task manager, because let's face it, most people do start their day with email and then they go to their task manager. Not necessarily the best way to do it, but again, there's nuance to everybody's workflows, right? Who are we to judge the way that you do it? It's our job is to, and your job and with the stack method is to say, here's how you do this. The thing is that if you keep moving emails into your task manager, all of a sudden your task manager is overloaded. And then you run into that paralysis issue there. With the stack method, what I've noticed and what I saw is you've got that balance, right? Of like, okay, I can trust leaving this here inside of email because I know I can rely on it. It's not going to fall through the cracks. And you actually use the word, I get my emails done and my email gets, nothing falls through the cracks. Whereas if, and same thing with your task management tool. So I think a lot of people struggle with frameworks in this stuff, right? They just, they get so caught up in the doing, in the let's check off as many boxes as possible, that they're wondering, are they doing it in the best way possible? For those who have adopted the stack method, organizationally, yes, but what have you noticed with people who have done it both organizationally, like inside of a larger organization, but also if you're like, hey, I run my own business and I need a better way to handle all these incomings because it's just me against the world when it comes to this stuff. Like, what are some of the things that you've heard?
The most remarkable thing, which is not something that I planned on, but something that we found out through time studies over the years, is when I'm going to kind of wrap this up back into that concept of that of a system that you can trust, sure. Right? So it takes 15 minutes to warm up on a task and then 10 minutes of concentration to produce meaningful output. So if you're constantly getting pinged by email or Slack or anything else, it's distracting you and fragmenting your thinking. And suddenly like a 1 hour task is going to take you 2 or 3 hours to get done, right? I'm sure everybody's experienced that. And so once people trust the system, they're confident in being able to let go of their email and batch process it at just a few times over the course of the day, maybe at 9, then maybe for a half an hour at lunch, and you know, maybe once at the end of the day, you know, or just in the morning at the end of the day, whatever it is. But because of that trust factor, they're no longer in their email constantly. There's one person, Erica Gapp, said that her biggest revelation was that email lost its power over her.
Right.
And what this has translated to, based on self-reported time studies of people that have mastered the method, is about 200 to 250 hours a year in terms of time savings. So people are coming back to me and saying, I got back a month to a month and a half of my year. That's kind of astonishing to me as just kind of a learner, but I understand it based on the way that we're working in these kind of distraction-driven environments, you know, how that's possible. And I think the other thing people have noted is that it expands their creativity and their focus. We had one COO who mentioned that every time he wants to do something creative, he stacks first because then his mind is clear and then he's really able to focus on the strategic aspects of his job. And so I think that's the other really key difference, is that once you take care of that low grade fever and you feel and you've achieved closure, you can become a much better expression of yourself in all sorts of different ways. And you'll have a lot more time for that expression to apply itself to your work over the course of a year.
I think one of the things that you touched on is letting go of emails and having the control be removed, and you have greater command over not just your email, but your time and all the other things that come with the elements of your work. Go back to that idea of Yesterbox that Tony Hsieh talked about. And he said he was answer all his emails that came in up until today, and then today's would be, they would wait. Like, he would deal with the ones that were absolutely important, but the ones that weren't urgent, he would leave until the next day or whatever. And when I mentioned that to a few people, they're like, how could you do that? I need to know that all my emails that have come in for today have been taken care of. And when you go through this video series, which again, and we only touched on, I mean, we can't go through all the elements of the stack method in this conversation, nor would I want to, because the way that you do it through the video series is just so compelling. Plus there's a lot of other downloadables there and stuff. And I mean, I could tell you that once you go through that series, there's other options available to you that you will definitely want to leverage, because like you said, it's got to stick. And the way we've been trained to use technology, especially because email, again, it's such a delusion. It's so easy. It would have been better if we're all given a class before email was invented, going, here's what's coming. All right. So those Happy Monday emails that you want to send, don't send those. They're not, they immediately make Monday not happy. Like, but now we're the genie's out of the bottle, right? So, and it has been for many, many years now. And what I appreciate about the stack method is it's thoughtful. It is simple. It's not easy at first because we've been so battle trained to handle email a certain way. It has all the elements that I love in a technique: durable, sustainable, flexible. And I attribute it to the fact that you've given it a lot of thought, but you also have some compassion and understanding and experience in the realm where email seems to flood and overwhelm with things like, I mean, what about like notifications? You don't bring up notifications, just to be clear, because one of the biggest common things you see in blog posts are turn off all email notifications. And I gotta say, it's absolutely spot on advice, but it's not the first thing you should do. Because let's wrap up. Why is, you mention it, you say like notifications, like that's one of the things, but you don't mention it until the very last video. Why did you wait until the very end to say, hey, the first thing you should do is, and it's not turn off all notifications?
Well, you know, first of all, when I see people write about turning off notifications, a lot of times it's just gimmicky and, you know, it doesn't really, that's not really a solution.
Well, it's
right?
Easy, but it's not simple because it's a hack, right? And hacks don't work sustain over the long term, right?
Yeah, they're not sustainable. They don't make for a complete productivity system.
Right.
But if you just go in right away and tell people to turn off their notifications, everyone's going to be like, no way.
It's like, don't answer email first thing in the morning. That used to be something I would say all the time. And then some customer service rep said, my job is customer service. I literally have to, okay, well, except for you. And then they're like, but what about me? I do this. Like those one size fits all. There is no one size fits all, right?
Yeah. Well, with notifications, to get to the point where somebody feels like they can turn off the notifications and kind of reclaim their attention in these larger buckets of time, they have to trust the system. And so the notifications are brought in at the very end because they have to feel that sense of completeness, that sense of trust in all of the aspects of the stack method, to know that it will cover them if they use it as intended. And then if that's the case and you're using the system, your notifications won't matter. So go ahead and shut them off. You'll be good to go. And so that's kind of why they're brought in at the end.
Gotcha. Speaking of notifications.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That's my rice cooker.
But the great thing, that's perfect. We're going to leave that in because one of the things that you bring up, first off, notifications, you and I both know, are alerts. They're not commands. That's a big thing. Secondly, when you're doing this training, and I really appreciated this, and I think that anyone who goes through this method, and this is, by the way, this is not an infomercial or anything like that. I was just so enthralled with the fact that the stack method is an email workflow that I think, like I said, right off the top, literally my new favorite email method.
And it's, and just for, it, so it, for everybody's clarification, it's free.
It's free. Yeah. So like you don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the 9 major videos. There's over 30 how to and setup videos, downloadable guides. I don't ask for your email. There's no paywall. There's no firewall. It's all free. So
yeah. So, and you mentioned in the introductory video why, and I definitely want, if you want to know why, go watch the video and then come back and tell us why. Why did Prashant make this free? But what I loved is the rice cooker that just went off. You use real world, like everyone can relate to examples to kind of make people go, oh, like I never thought about it that way. I think you bring up the socks versus the mugs thing, right? Like just things that people do in their daily, everyday life that breaks a pattern of thought around some of the things that they might be doing with email that maybe are kind of broken or are at least not serving them in the best way possible. And you use like a classic pattern break to go like, would you do this with this? And you're like, well, no, of course not. Well, then why are you doing this with this, right? And I really appreciate that because I think that's one of the pathways to get people to break some of these bad habits and the biases that they have around and the beliefs that they have around the way email works, right?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the case.
All right. As we wrap up, the first step, I normally ask the guest, like, what's the first thing you should do when you're done listening to this episode, this conversation, to get you going in the right direction with what we talked about? You don't have to say it. We've said it a bunch of times. Go to the link in the podcast app you're listening to, in the show notes on the podcast page, or go to, and go ahead, Prashant, tell us the link.
Yeah, go to stackmethod.com, and you can basically get everything you need to kind of take back control of your mind from email.
Free. It's all completely free. Anyone who's listened to this show for a while knows that I don't lean heavily into frameworks, apps, anything like that. Normally our conversations revolve around, you know, like philosophical discussions, things like that. I got to do both with you today. I got to talk about like the geeky, techie, like frameworky stuff that I love to talk about that I do with my clients and, you know, in my work and all that stuff. But I also got to talk about the philosophical approaches where I literally, there's only been two experiences lately in the past, I'd say 6 months, where I was able to nod my head in agreement with the person, even though they couldn't see me doing it, Oliver Berkman's 4,000 weeks when I was listening to him read the audiobook to me and watching you deliver your videos going, oh, yep, exactly. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the episode and on this program today. Where can people, other than go to stackmethod.com, where can people learn more about you and keep up with what you're doing?
If you can go to doublegemini.com. And another really good resource on doublegemini.com is we have a productivity newsletter. So that's, we call it Productivity for All. And it's just thoughts and ideas and musings that I have on all topics, productivity, much like yours, Mike. And good place to kind of keep in touch and see what we're up to and hopefully learn a few things that might help.
And the next time I'm in New York, we're going to have to get together and have a mug of coffee or maybe something else.
I would love that. Absolutely would love that.
Thanks for having a productive conversation with me today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Mike. I love the approach and the learner's mind and, you know, the ambiance of the show itself. It's just so lovely to be here. Thank you.
I told you email management, Prashant gets it, and you want to check out the Stack Method. So if you want to check out the Stack Method and all the other things we talked about, go to productivities.com/podcast433, and that way you can get the ball rolling. Another Vault episode next week. If you are a fan of Todoist or task management, but Todoist specifically, you don't want to miss that one. Make sure you subscribe. It's an episode from the Vault. And if you've been a longtime user of Todoist, I think it's going to be an interesting one for you to listen to. So make sure you check it out. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive, even with your email. I'll see you later.